Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Friday, Cleveland. It is one more day closer to being to the NFL preseason week two, right there. I mean, we're knocking on the door. Brown's going to play the Eagles. Who's going to play quarterback? Well, everybody's best guess. Good luck. That's where we're sitting at. It's everybody's best guess. We're going to talk about plenty of that. We'll react to the Guardians later on in the night, of course, when they wrap up, taking on the Braves in just a few minutes. It's Jake Volmick with you guys here from 7 to 11. We have Dom Clary from the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Anthony Alant with us tonight. I'm really interested to get to this game on Saturday. And I'll be honest, I'm either really interested to get to this game or not interested at all to get to this game because we're currently on the teeter-totter or on the top of the fence and we could fall either way. Will Dylan Gabriel play? Will he not play? Imagine he's probably going to play. But the minute he doesn't, they rule him out. I'm watching. But only because I feel like I have to watch at that point. Right? Like, it feels like only rightfully so. That will probably be the first Browns game that I watch, actually, that I'm like, I'm watching this one because I work and I talk about the Browns almost every single day. I feel like I have to watch it at this point. That'll be the only time. The only time that has ever happened. Normally, I'm really excited. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm going to watch it anyway. The preseason game, if Dylan Gabriel doesn't play, 100% would be a game that I would skip and not feel in the slightest bad about it. But we'll see how it plays out. Definitely interested in it. But I do think Dylan Gabriel is going to play. Like, I don't think that there's a route where we go down where the way that it's currently set up, you know, Tyler Huntley is taking four quarters worth of reps. That does not make any sense. If the Browns do that, I will be very, very surprised. But they're going to work in the best interest of their rookies and work in the best interest of their players to keep them healthy and whatever they have to do. Again, I just imagine you probably see Dylan play, but this is where it gets a little interesting for me. We all know that like I like Shador better than I like Dylan Gabriel. There's no hiding that fact. I think he's the better quarterback. I have thought he's the better quarterback for a long time. More prepared quarterback, I don't know. But I don't think Dylan Gabriel is going to go out there and play as well as Shador did on Friday against the Panthers. I really don't. But I do wonder sort of what happens in people's minds if he were to outplay Shador Sanders. Like, that to me is an interesting thought. Because you know what I think is going to happen? I think there's a good chunk of the fan base that's going to look at that and go, this is a good thing. It's a really good thing. And I think there's the Shador part of the fan base. People that go just a little bit too hard into the paint for Shador Sanders are going to just live by the motto or the method of deny, deny, deny. And it does not matter how well he plays. It's going to be people being like, well, I didn't play as well as Shador. Even if the numbers scream that it do, even if the eye test screams that it does, it's going to be, well, he didn't have to play the first team. And there's going to be a million different excuses. I truthfully don't know if there's a world where people are going to be willing to admit that Dylan Gabriel looked better than Shedeur Sanders if it happened. And again, I don't expect it to happen. But if it does, I promise you, we'll talk on Monday, and I'll sit here and go, well, Dylan Gabriel outplayed Shedeur Sanders. Obviously not in this game, but between their two games that they have played, one apiece, if Dylan does outplay him, like, I'm not going to have a problem in just admitting that. I think it's almost a near impossible thing to do because I think Shedeur looked really good. But I don't know if people are going to be able to just eat that for what it is. It's going to be spin zone in the hardest way possible. Everybody is going to the lengths. It's going to be the classic, when my guy does good in preseason, he's just good. Look at what I was talking about. And when the other guy does good, well, it's a preseason and it doesn't matter. It's that argument in a nutshell, taken down 19 different avenues. And I really don't understand the side of it from, well, I'm just going to deny the fact that Dylan Gabriel is good. From a Browns fan. If you're just a straight Shedeur fan, you don't care about the Cleveland Browns, well, sure. It makes sense that you wouldn't be going down that route, and that's not the way that you're thinking, because you want Shedeur to start, and I get that. But if you are a Browns fan, you should be looking at, hey, Shedeur did well and Dylan did well. This is the best possible case scenario. Matt Verderame of Sports Illustrated, we had him on last night, said the exact thing of, hey, wouldn't it just be amazing if you walked into RG3 and Kirk Cousins? Is that your scenario of drafting two quarterbacks? And obviously, we're not talking about like RG3 going through and having the multiple leg issues, but I'm talking about RG3 looked really good, and Kirk Cousins also turned out to be pretty darn good. Like, that would be your key scenario. So if you're a Browns fan, even if you want Shedeur to succeed, which I do, I think that he gives you the best chance to win into the future of all the guys on the roster. That's who I want to see eventually come out and hopefully win and prove that he can win the job. But I'm not rooting and actively rooting against Dylan Gabriel to do it. And I'm going to be able to admit if Dylan Gabriel looks like a better quarterback. I just don't think there's a ton of the fan base that's going to be able to do that. And of course, everything up to this point is, well, Shedeur suffers the oblique injury. I think we were all pretty much planning on he's going to miss this game. We do go down a different avenue here too, though, as Tom Pelissero has a report on just maybe when you could see Shedeur Sanders back on the field.
I am told there is cautious optimism that Sanders could return to practice next week and be able to play in the preseason finale. They're hoping that Dylan Gabriel is going to wake up feeling good enough tomorrow that he can go out and start. If not, if all else fails, then it's going to be a whole lot of Tyler Snoop Huntley.
Audio courtesy of the NFL Network. But listen, I mean, cautious optimism is definitely, I think, better than what we had to at least think it could have been, right? Like, hey, I'm going into this thinking, oh boy, like Shedeur oblique injury, quarterback oblique injury. We could be talking about a guy missing weeks on end. Like, we just had Travis Bazana for the Guardians, had an oblique injury and it kept him out over a month. I think it was like 6 weeks that he was down. Like, yeah, he does. Baseball player, same thing. I mean, you got to use your obliques. You have to use a torque in your midsection there to be able to make it work. Quarterbacks have to be able to torque in their midsection to make it work and throw the football. So I'm sitting here thinking, well, it clearly wasn't that bad, but he's getting driven around by Jalen Hurts. He wasn't participating in practice. This could be just a lingering, nagging thing that could keep him down for, you know, we could be talking about in week two or three of the regular season. If it's that bad, nothing but good news if there's even cautious optimism that Shedeur could be back on the practice field coming up into next week. But I do think this sort of fuels the fire for a lot of people too. Like, I can look at that for what it is and be like, okay, well, the injury wasn't that bad. I think there's a large amount of people that'll listen to Tom Pelissero's report there and probably go, well, here come back the conspiracy theories. You're cautiously optimistic that a guy is going to return from an oblique injury days after it happened, just so conveniently after the second preseason game is done. And it is harder to ignore. Again, every time I see an oblique injury across sports, it does not seem like that guy is shut down for 3 days on an oblique strain. I'm not buying into the conspiracy theory. Don't get that wrong. I'm not telling you that it's a real thing, but I do think this adds fuel to the fire. I do think this makes it if anything else, more credible to the people on the conspiracy theory that want to jump on that boat and say that something is actually happening. It feels like a very quick turnaround that you just don't normally get. And here we are, just happening to get the potential of Shador being back that fast. I think a lot of people are going to go and run with that. I'm going to stick to the fact that I think it really is an oblique injury. I don't think Shador would just be sitting down and not playing for nothing. But I can also see where you're coming. Like, this does seem like a very weird scenario to be rolling down. And then it's going to be up to what? Week three? And I mean, I laid it out for you guys earlier in the week. I talked about it. You know, it sets Shador up probably behind the eight ball, not going to make him be able to be a backup because I don't see the Browns making drastic quarterback depth chart decisions based on preseason game three. So it just takes Shador out of the limelight. And it takes it out of the possibility that, hey, Shador plays against similar defenders and looks better than Dylan Gabriel does, all wrapped up into one game, that the Browns know there would be eyes on. So it does start to feel, you know, a little odd and a little fishy. I can't sit here and deny that that is a true thing. I really hope that wouldn't be the case. If you're trying to tamper down the noise for Shador Sanders, you missed the ball completely on when you drafted him, knowing what was coming with it. So in a way, I really do hope it's an oblique injury. Because if you're just trying to sit him back farther on the depth chart and quiet the fact that he's going to be a better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel, you've driven down the wrong path. And I don't think the Browns are really trying to set anything up to roll in that direction. But it's reports like these and it's a fast comebacks like these from an oblique injury that I do think start to lean into and give people credence that have these sort of conspiracy theory takes. You almost feel bad for the Browns in a way if it's just a regular oblique injury and it is true. It's like, okay, well, the kid made a fast recovery and we're happy to have him back. And now here we go. We're getting all the noise again. But again, you're doing it to yourself. All we know is that Shador not playing tomorrow night will set him back. It will have him not as the best quarterback that he could possibly be there. And it will not have him displaying that I am better than Dylan Gabriel right there in front of your own two eyes. But instead, if you want to talk about a quote-unquote fair quarterback competition, this is about as fair as you can get, right? Both guys are going to get an extended look in the preseason game, and then both probably get a similar route into week three, just not the way that we all drew it up. And certainly not a quarterback competition for QB1. I understand that. I'm not saying that it's fair there. But I'm saying between the two rookies, they're going to get a similar look at both of them. So in one way, this would be the most exciting thing to see Shador go out and play in the third preseason game, knowing that he can't go out here now, and that is good news. You're just setting this thing up to be able to see exactly what you have, a one-to-one comparison of here's what Shador can do against that exact same workload. Here's what Dylan Gabriel did with the exact same workload. Which guy looked better? But it comes down to whether or not you make a decision based on what guy looked better. If Shador just looks better than Dylan Gabriel and you tell me Dylan Gabriel out of the gate, it's going to make it awfully hard to ignore going, they played the same amount. I saw the same things that you're supposed to be seeing. Where is Dylan better? 216-474-0092. Will you be able to admit if Dylan Gabriel looks better than Shador Sanders on Saturday? And Tom Pelissero's report certainly making it a little confusing on how quick Shador can just bounce back. Again, 216-474-0092. You can also get to me on X, at VolnickJake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. The Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We're going to talk to Lance Reisland, Coach Riz over at Cleveland.com, as we will every Friday moving forward throughout the football season. We'll get a preview for what Saturday has and what we saw in joint practices going on earlier this week. Plenty of good stuff with Lance. Of course, get a grip at 9. We'll react to the Guardians. We'll bring in Anthony in the 10 o'clock hour for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. You hear Tom Pelissero's report. Is it making you buy more into the conspiracy theory? And you'll be able to admit if Dylan Gabriel just looks better on Saturday. Your calls and more coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
And even into the preseason game against the Rams in the final week of the preseason. We're going to get your calls coming up here on that in just a couple of minutes. But we do have to get to the Mary Kay Cabot report out there right now, reporting as Anthony had in his update. Texas wide receiver Isaiah Bond will fly to Cleveland on Saturday night. Sources tell Cleveland.com and will likely be signed by Sunday. No one is expecting NFL discipline after his charges were dropped. This is wild development to me. Because I was under the clear assumption, like, hey, listen, you weren't really a part of the NFL, but you get signed by a team, you do things that were detrimental to the NFL, you were at the combine, you were a guy that was supposed to be drafted by us, and yes, no charges, but we know how the NFL operates, fair, unfair. These are the type of things that usually get you suspended. Right? And again, it was one of the things that we even asked Matt Verderam about yesterday as well. It was like, do you expect these two guys to get suspended? And it's like, yeah, for, you know, we'll see how it plays out, how many games they get. But yeah, I expect Quinshon and Isaiah Bond to be suspended, as I think everybody did at this point. So I do think it's really interesting that there should be no suspension attached to this whatsoever. Again, like, charges are dropped against you in Texas. That's something that it plays out in the legal system. We see that happen all the time, but legal system or not, the NFL does its own investigation, and usually these things end up with, you're just going to get suspended. That's how this works. So Isaiah Bond not being suspended, I don't think you're getting like Isaiah Bond out on the field week one. I don't think that you're probably getting to that level, and he's going to be ready by that point. But it would tell you that you're not going to have to worry about him having to sit out the first 4 weeks if he is ready. And he is good to go. And it also, of course, tells you that if you had any doubt they were signing him, it's 100% happening at this point. Like, they're flying him out, and he's going to be done by Sunday. Hey, the guy's going to be a Cleveland Brown if you had any doubt in their mind. For some reason, somehow, after the press release that he put out, it's going to be there. So that's an interesting story to watch. No suspension apparently coming for Isaiah Bond, which... it's real interesting when you have a suspension for Quinshon Judkins, too, for I don't want to compare bad crime to bad crime. Domestic violence does feel like, to some degree, against sexual assault, like they carry differing weights there, but both really bad. Let's not make a joke about that. Let's put that into real perspective. But we'll keep our eye on it. We'll see if anything develops throughout the night. And of course, we'll be back on Monday to talk about it more. But asking you guys at 216-474-0092, will you admit if Dylan Gabriel looks better than Shador Sanders on Saturday? Let's go out to the phones. Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
I absolutely admit it. I expect it to happen that way. I do. I completely do. I want to elaborate on it, but I have a question. Bond was a Longhorn last year, right?
Correct.
And he played in that game against Ohio State, right?
I believe he did, yes.
Okay. I don't know him by his name. I got to see his jersey. Because I thought the receivers from Texas did okay against Ohio State secondary. So I got to see what number he was so I could better remember how well he played.
Now, he did not play well against Ohio State. He had one catch for 8 yards. But at the back end of the year, he dealt with ankle injuries throughout the back end of the year. And specifically in the SEC championship game against Georgia, he re-aggravated that ankle injury. So he was by no means at 100% there, but really the back half of his season was just not great. Like, he didn't put up great numbers for them. It was 500 and something yards, I think, for 5 touchdowns, and he ended his year right on that mark. And it's not great numbers for a college receiver, but he was anywhere basically from a second to a fourth round pick was his projection.
Okay. I'll check him out, and I'll make sure I check him out on a day when I'm seeing clear on the video. So, I'm going to say, as I've said before, the three most important things in the entertainment industry are the maximization of profit, imagery, and a very distant third is quality of product. They did not compromise the imagery of the NFL if the charges were dropped on both of them. So they should be that's Bond and the running back. So the NFL should be able to say, okay, you got this shot, but we're looking at you sideways from here on out. Don't get in no more mess, and they should be able to move on. Now back to the question, Gabriel has this working against him, whereas Shador played against the worst defense in the league and their backups. Gabriel's playing against the best defensive in the league and their backups. So when you measure his performance, measure it with that understanding. He's going to have a lot more pressure to deal with, a lot more pressure running at him, and the secondary is going to be better. The secondary is going to be much better. So if he performs better, then you have to take that in consideration in comparison to Shador. So will I admit to it? Yeah, because look at what he had to go through to perform well. I'm expecting him to do well. He's just going to pay for it. He's going to pay for it. So if his hamstrings ain't together, I would prefer to not put him out there. But even if his hamstrings are together, hey, man, it's good that your contract is signed because they're going to be on you, Gabriel.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there is a slight difference. And Todd, as always, I appreciate you making the call.
Yep.
There is a slight difference because obviously Shador, for the limited snaps that it was, like 2 drives went up against the Panthers first team compared to we don't expect to see many Eagles first teamers out there on defense, if at all, due to the double joint practices that they had on Wednesday and yesterday. But like, there's that difference. I mean, I do like the Eagles' depth. Like, I think that's obviously something they've prioritized defensively, especially on that defensive line. You'll see some young guys get some work, I'm sure. So I think you do have to evaluate it, obviously, for what it is, absolutely. I just think it gets really, really fuzzy if you're trying to go, well, is the second-team Eagles defense as good as the Panthers' first-team defense? How much worse is it if it is worse? You go through and try to balance this thing out. I'm just trying to see competent quarterback play. Like, if Dylan Gabriel goes out there and looks like he knows what he's doing, I'll be satisfied by it. Not going to be angry. In some degree, I don't even know that I'm really comparing these two one-to-one based on these two games, but I know everybody else is going to be. Like, I'm just hoping they both play well. I mean, that's really the route that I want to go down. I want both rookie quarterbacks to actually succeed and look like they know what they're doing, and hopefully the Browns can show they can develop young quarterbacks. But I understand everybody's going to go through and pin these two guys against each other and see which one is better than the other. And rightfully so, it's two rookie quarterbacks that you both drafted who are competing for a spot on the depth chart. I think I understand it in that degree. But yeah, I just don't know if you're going to be able to look at the stats by the end of this game and be like, oh, well, Dylan didn't go, 14 for 23 and put up the same yards and 2 touchdowns as Shador Sanders did, so he played worse. you're going to have to do a little bit of the eye test on this one, I think, which is going to leave it subjective and lead to probably more people disagreeing with the overall valuation of what actually happened. Again, 216-474-0092. Mike is in Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Jake. Good evening. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I missed your last couple. No, I was like, last two nights you had other things taken over, right? Is there something else? You weren't around, were you?
Yeah, we were on. We're on from 8 to 11 on Wednesdays going forward, and then Thursdays. Obviously, we'll get to Thursday night football at some point on here. But the Browns preview show and the coaches show take over on Wednesdays and Thursdays for that hour.
Well, hopefully, you got something good in. So, with your time, I was going to comment on a couple things. The thing on the, of course, I would want Dylan to do as good, and I admit it either way. And you're, I think you're kind of on it. It might not be the same yardage. It might not be the same touchdown results, but moving the ball down the field, you're not making any negative plays or just not creating negative plays out of bad situations, getting rid of the ball, things like that, not holding on to it when you should. And I think that's, I want them both to develop too, because, let's be honest. What would be the best case scenario would be one of these two, if not both of them, to look like they have a future here going into the next year's draft and have it still finish pretty poorly, which I think will still happen, because I think that, and, that would be an amazing thing, right? Come to the top of the draft, having two viable quarterbacks. So many options now with next year's draft. So, but on top of that, everybody's in such a hurry to try to settle this, Jake, before the season starts. And I don't think that's how it's at all going to play out. This is a season-long development process, and they're both going to get their shots, I think, at some point, because that's just the way the season's going to play out. This team's in a very physical division. Conference is even tougher than the NFC, and they're going to get, they're going to learn some things this year. So I think that, being hasty about the, when it's going to be decided and who's three and who's four and all that, it's just not something I really care all that much about right now. It doesn't matter. And the one thing I wanted to point out, I'm interested in your comments about Bond. I think that creates an interesting roster dilemma, because he's an extra receiver, a day two receiver probably, maybe even a high day two. I can foreseeably see us wanting to keep him regardless of whether he's able to get on the field before day or week one. Now, yeah, we might be able to stash him for 4 weeks, or he's probably going to maybe get suspended. But, that was going to be maybe one of those extra spots if we keep four quarterbacks. I was curious what you think about that, how it might – that might make things a little tougher for Andrew and, Kevin going forward when they try to make that decision.
Yeah, I think –
who to keep.
Yeah, I think the cutdowns are going to be really interesting, Mike, and I appreciate you making the call as always.
Sure.
I think – when you get into the roster side of things, I'll touch on the Dylan Gabriel thing here in a minute, but at the roster side of it, it's like, yeah, you're going to have to make decisions. And the guys always say, hey, they view this as a 69-man roster compared to a 53-man roster. They value the practice squad because you can move guys up and down. So decisions obviously matter here, but like Isaiah Bond's going to get a roster spot if they're going to sign him at this point. There's no doubt about that. Like, I mean, I think that Gage Larvidane has shown great things up to this point. If it comes down to Isaiah Bond versus Gage Larvidane, I think they're going to make a very clear choice that the guy that would have been drafted anywhere from the second to the fourth round is going to be more valuable to them than the guy that was an undrafted free agent. Unless Gage has shown something that I'm not seeing, where they really think he's just exploded onto the scene, but I have not gotten that vibe, then I'd imagine that Bond would get the roster spot over him or a guy like, if you're deciding between him and Caden Davis or Sal Canella, like you're going to get it over him. So he's going to get a spot. It's just what guy gets bumped down to the practice squad and potentially what guy gets cut from this roster. Ultimately, like the Browns fans on a year-to-year basis, the odds that you see Gage Larvidane actually take the field in the regular season, it's entirely low. It's not going to play that much of an impact. I'll take the route of I want the most talented guys playing at any given moment, and if you're going to sign him, you better make sure you get him onto the roster, and if he's going to have a chance to play and produce for the team, you get him on the roster and get that done. Like, you make sure that he's available to do that, and I'll worry about the other guys down the line as I have to worry about the other guys down the line. Now, Dom, want to chime in?
Yeah, how brutal is it that you're a wide receiver trying to make it on an NFL roster, right, and a guy that definitely would be ahead of you gets signed who you didn't even think to consider you'd have to compete with? I hate middle of the preseason signing, like camp signings. Yeah, because I feel bad for, obviously, like, if they think it's the right move roster-wise, I get. But, like, you feel bad for the guys that are like, this might be my only shot to live my dream. And then, like...
Yeah, I mean, you think about the local kid. Like, Luke Florio goes through the hamstring injury, right, which obviously got him cut off of this. I think people would have considered him a potential practice squad add even after he got cut. Like, they might just go through and add him back at some point this year.
definitely makes it harder for a local guy like that people wanted to see succeed do it.
Did he get cut or?
Yeah, he got cut after the hamstring injury in week one just because I think it was worse than people thought.
That's another brutal thing that you perform well, the fans love you, you have a lot of local support. One, because you're a local kid and you went here locally for college, you performed well, now you're with the Browns. We love that here. But, like, that sucks. Now, again, I would be shocked if he doesn't make a practice squad after he recovers.
Yeah, I think that he's definitely opened people's eyes to, like, he'll probably see a practice squad at some point if it's not with Cleveland. Yeah,
he's going to get that kid's going to get another shot.
Yeah, I think he'll get it. Again, it's just like, I mean, it's unfortunate. And, like, yes, it sucks to go through those scenarios, obviously. And, like, hey, you feel for a guy like, again, like a Gage Larvidane, a Cade Davis, if they don't make this roster because it's, guy gets added in. But from Brown's perspective, I got talent to worry about. And if I have a guy that's going to be, you know, potentially a second round pick that I'm getting for, I mean, in the most general way possible, like on the free, like all I have to do is hand this guy a contract, probably for next to nothing. Didn't have to use a draft pick on him that I would have previously probably considered using. And I just get him. Yeah, I'm adding that guy to the roster. And I'm not worrying about the kids who unfortunately have busted their tail to try to make this roster.
Now, there's another thing to consider. You know, if this young man they brought on, his character issues off the field continue, which hopefully they don't, but if they do, and you get rid of Luke Floria because of it, you know how the city reacts to when you push a local kid aside to bring in someone that has those issues, especially as of late. So, fans have been very vocal about it, and we might be getting a lot of calls about that if that's what ends up happening, if he ends up getting cut down. Hopefully, that's not what happens, but you know, it's something to consider, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think fans are going to react very pleasantly about it. But again, like, you take away the football side of it, and we talked about this yesterday with, like, the whole morality side of the whole morality and trying to be just keeping a high moral standard for your football team. Like, realism is, in the NFL, no team is 100% moral, right? Like, they don't stick to good morals 100% of the way. You have guys with character issues on every single roster.
Every team.
And some rosters more than others. And the Browns have clearly made it evident that, well, hey, we're not really going to let that stop us, right? They've been, since when John Dorsey was here and you signed Kareem Hunt, all the way up until, you know, yesterday with the Isaiah Bond news, they've made it very clear that that's not going to stop them from trying to put talented guys on the field. So at one point, like, yeah, I get you're going to be upset about it, but that's the world of the NFL. Like, that's just what happens. Character issues get put aside, and people tend to ignore them when the football on the other side tends to work out. The Browns just haven't been very good at that part of it. All right, 216-474-0092. We were talking about Dylan Gabriel. Would you admit if he looks as good or better than Shedeur Sanders coming up on Saturday? We're also going to get to the station buzz here in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on the...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Fan. Oddly enough, does not feel like a Friday. But we'll get the thoughts of tomorrow's game, what Lance expects to see and everything there. But without further ado, before we get there, why don't we get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off. I definitely did not start that without my mic on. Let's kick things off with Daryl Ryder. On with Ken and Anthony this morning, our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, talking about Quinshon Judkins, Isaiah Bonds. This obviously coming before the Mary Kay report that we got earlier this hour.
Judkins, that paves the way for Andrew Berry to get him signed and get him into camp. Obviously, have to wait for the league office to determine, regardless of the legal outcome, if the league felt he still violated the conduct policy in any way. As far as Isaiah Bond, I think he might have jumped the gun a little bit. Got to make sure you got pen to paper. The team is saying that he's not signed yet. If, in fact, they do sign him or they have signed him, it's just another example of Andrew Berry taking flyers on guys that have had some questionable things in their background.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like I said, we talked about this a little bit last segment. Like, hey, this is just how the NFL operates. Like it or not, and I understand that a lot of people will not like it, and I don't disagree with you on that fact. I don't think anybody enjoys, you know, the potential face of their team or the overall image that is attached to their team being something that is in a negative light and paints them as not great characters. Like, nobody should be excited by that, but it's just how the Browns operate. Now, I do have to say, it'll be incredibly hypocritical of the NFL, shocker, if Isaiah Bond, they decide not to suspend, and Quinshon Judkins, they decide to suspend, assuming that both, you know, legal cases play out in a somewhat similar manner. Which, both of those, the prosecution has not moved forward. Like, Isaiah Bond's charges were dropped, and the prosecution decided not to take up Quinshon Judkins over in Florida and go forward with the domestic violence charge. So, like, if you're telling me Isaiah Bond's not getting suspended for that, but Quinshon Judkins is, it's like, okay, we're going to need either a deeper dive into why he's getting the suspension and Isaiah Bond is not, and what the two differences in the cases are, or I'm going to have to sit up here and call the NFL just pure hypocrites, because both of those hurt your imagery. Right, having a player that is coming into the NFL with those things attached to him, if you want to hand down the suspension, I don't think anybody necessarily likes it, but it's like, I get it from your side. It's a thing that you do. You want to make sure that the NFL treats these things very seriously, and you take down and you say, all right, even if you get accused of these things and your name is attached to them, we're going to not have that being played out in a very good light for you, and you're going to get suspended for it. But I feel like you just can't be flip-floppy on it. Like, if you're going to suspend one guy for it, you have to suspend each guy for it. And they're battling the exact same battle back and forth, too, sort of with Jordan Addison and Rashee Rice right now. Obviously, different scenarios. Addison had the DUI and was driving very fast. He just got handed a three-game suspension. There's clearly a disagreement going on with Rice, and he had the hit and run in which nobody got hurt, and they're determining how long to suspend him. It's like, okay, well, both scenarios, not good. Also feel like pretty clear of a suspension and where you should be handing that one down. You're going to be called a hypocrite this season, I think, either way. But Judkins and Bond just goes through it and makes that much worse. All right, let's keep moving. Sean Salisbury of Unpaved on Rumble Daily, also of the Sean Salisbury Show over in Houston, and former NFL quarterback, on today with Nick and JP. And he talked about Joe Flacco and what he's doing in terms of a starting job.
As far as who I'd start today, of course, it's a guy who can handle pressure, still throws it, has seen a ton of football. Now, it's going to be Joe's job, meaning Flacco, to handle the job. But what's going to go on in the next couple weeks? Don't judge them just from what you see on our TV in a preseason game. It's all the other stuff. How are the coaches putting them in, reps, and what do the reps look like? And I don't mean chart and throws every single day like we see sometimes on social media. It's a lot of the simple stuff. Does the team rally? Do guys play different? Do those guys elevate? So for me, it's Flacco to start, but this isn't one where you're going to say, hey, man, this is a no-brainer. Joe's either going to play his way into it and keep it, or Joe's going to play his way out of it and somebody else is going to get a chance.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing here is I don't even know that it's Joe's job until Joe proves that it's not his job. Like, as weird as that is, I know we all want to see the rookie quarterbacks, but the way the Browns are, I expect, going to treat this is it's Joe's job until Joe stops performing well, and then they'll move on. Yeah, it's like the clear thing. You start losing football games, you start not playing up to standard, and then you're going to get replaced in a very volatile quarterback room where your job is just not safe. So you're going to go through and lose it. Yeah, it's Joe's job up until he just proves it's not. But if at this point you're starting anybody but Joe, I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of things of what you're doing. I mean, we don't have health. We don't have guys actually out there practicing on a daily basis. Joe was the only one who's been staying healthy, consistently taking reps at the ones. It feels like we'd be talking about a miracle, either good or bad, however you want to look at it, that Joe Flacco would not be starting week one at this point. Let's keep the Browns conversation going as Nathan Zagura, Browns Radio Network, on this morning with Ken and Anthony, and talked about what he expects to see the Browns do in the quarterback room and how it all plays out.
Could you see Kevin Stefanski on maybe Monday in a media availability go ahead and just tell everybody that Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback week one?
Yes.
Part two, what does that mean for everybody else?
That's one of the challenges, I think, when you get into season mode, is to continue the development of your young quarterback. I have no idea what the depth chart behind him is going to look like. You know, Kenny Pickett had a strong start to camp, but we really haven't seen him since day four and in a team period. And so I don't know if, as a veteran, he'll automatically be the two. I don't know if it'll be Dylan Gabriel. I don't know if it'll be Shador Sanders. That, I think, is going to be interesting. And the plan that they put in place so that they can concurrently prepare Joe Flacco and the ones to be the, you know, the starters, if that's the direction that he goes, names that on Monday as a expected, and then what the plan is to concurrently develop Shador and Dylan so that they are ready to go when it's their time or when they are needed to go.
And I think this is what, like, we're never obviously going to get the inside look at it, but it's what we're all interested in. It's like, it's hard enough to, you know, prepare your starters to be ready and actually put together a quality product, which I think a lot of people think the Browns aren't going to put out this year. Might not be wrong. But you do that and then also look at your rookies and be like, I'm not just getting one guy ready to take over that job, but I have to concurrently get two guys ready at the exact same time. And there's just not reps to go around during the middle of the week. Like, I don't know exactly how you're going to be able to do that. Shador's not going to be throwing a ton of footballs, if I had to take guess, or Dylan Gabriel, whatever one ends up lower on the depth chart. Not going to be throwing a ton of footballs throughout the week in practice to, you know, against a live defense. Going to be a lot of reps probably going to Joe to make sure that that team has the best chance to win in the upcoming week in their game. It's going to be a lot of mental reps. It's going to be a lot of work on their own. So, and I know that we had addressed this a little bit earlier with Mike too, but everybody is dialed in, interested to see what happens right now. Maybe just for the fun of the conversation and because it's interesting at the moment, but I think it does make an impact into the season. Like, I don't know that whatever quarterback ends up lower out of the rookies is going to be able to climb up and over the other one throughout the course of a season, because I just don't think you're going to be able to display that. You might be the better guy. You might develop even faster, but you're not going to have a ton of opportunity to prove it, that you're better than the guy in front of you, until ultimately those two guys end up on the field. So I think the preseason and training camp and what's moving forward here still does play a massive impact in the order you're going to see these players go and what you can expect this season. All right, let's keep it going. More on the Browns today on Afternoon Drive as Brian Billick, former NFL coach, Super Bowl winner, on today with Nick and JP and talked about Shador and his debut on Friday.
It was impressive. Thought he, you know, first time out of the gate and looked good. Looked like he was in control. It looked like it wasn't too big for him. That's really what you're looking for, particularly with young players. No matter where you draft them, does the game look a little big for them this early on? And it's certainly different. Didn't against Carolina for him. He'll be looking for the same thing out of Dylan Gabriel, obviously, this weekend. And that's a good sign. And you saw all of what Shador could do in terms of the on-the-spot throws, the big play down the field, just enough running, obviously, to augment what you're doing. Two touchdown passes. I don't think you could have scripted a better start for him.
So I think it's interesting to hear the actual side of an NFL coach to be like, yeah, I mean, he looked really good, eh? And take away things from a preseason game when the Browns tell you they're not that important. And a lot of people go through and talk about these things just aren't that important. You're just getting somewhat of a view on guys. But to come away and be like, yeah, it's about as good as a performance as you can get, is part of the reason we had the conversation to start the show. Like, Dylan Gabriel plays better. I'll admit it. I just don't know how Dylan Gabriel is truly going to top that performance other than just being absolutely elite. Like, the main things that I'm going to have to look at from Dylan going forward into this start is going to be, all right, you're stepping up to the plate right now. I just don't know how you're going to live up to the top standard and be able to play to the level of Shador. So what I'm really looking forward for you is show me that the height does not matter. Like, that's the biggest thing for me. Don't show me that you're constantly getting the ball batted down. It looks like you can't see your receivers over the line. You're missing guys bad down the field. Like, show me that height does not matter. And then I think you're going to shut up a lot of people when you're throwing over your offensive line or finding windows to throw through. And if you look good doing it, it's going to be hard to be like, well, he can't do that in the NFL. He's just too small. But you got to be able to go out there and deny it. If you go out there and look small, well, people are going to come chopping right at the knees of Dylan Gabriel, and let's be honest, he can't be afforded to be getting his knees taken out. I mean, he'd probably be like 4'6" at that point. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Station Buzz. When we come on back, Coach Riz, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com helps us break down everything heading into tomorrow's preseason game against the Eagles on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.